First Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18. Tomorrow we're going to be praying for miracles, breakthroughs, and healings. Tonight we want to lay the foundation for what God will be doing. Then Elijah said to the people, "Come near. Come near to me." So all the people approached him, and he repaired and rebuilt the old altar of the Lord that had been broken down or torn down by Jezebel. It could also be by anything. Verse 31. Then Elijah took 12 stones in accordance with the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Verse 32. So the stones Elijah built, so with the stones Elijah built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench round about the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he laid out the wood, cut the ox in pieces or the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood. And he said, "Fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. The water flowed around the altar. And also, he also filled the trench with water. Verse 36. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached the altar and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, that I have done all these things at your word." So everything you're seeing here is at your word. Wonders happen as a result of the word. Amen. Verse 37, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you." That presupposes that the hearts of the people has turned away from God. Okay? That their hearts may be turned back to you. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, and even the stones and the dust. It also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell face downward. And they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." The Lord bless the reading and the teaching of his word. In Jesus' mighty name we'll pray. Tonight, I want to do something. I would love to pray, but I will come to pray later. I know we're in an intense moment of prayer. But I will not do a good job as a wise master builder if I don't lay the foundation I need to do today. Otherwise, we will pray again and wonder why we don't get results. And I don't want that cycle to continue, so I want to help you this moment. So I want to do something tonight, if you permit me to just give it a title. I'd like to call it Repairing Your Altar for Wonders. Repairing your altar for what? For wonders. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Please take your seat for a moment, and we'll come back to pray. Repairing your altar for wonders. This is Gilgal. So it is both a prayer meeting and a teaching time. Repairing your altar for wonders. An altar is a place of fellowship. An altar is a place of fellowship. An altar is a place of encounter with God. It is a place of intimacy with our Father. So if you're taking notes, write it down. The altar is a place of fellowship. An altar is a place of encounter with God. It is where we get instructions. It is where we get revelation. It is where we get direction. So in those days, when men want to get direction, they raise an altar. When people want to fellowship with God, they raise an altar. When people want to have an encounter with God, they raise an altar. So it is a place of instruction, a place of intimacy. It is a place in places where God chooses to do something with his own like he doesn't do in other places. So if I raise an altar here, what that means is that God and I will be having experiences here that you will not be having over there. So an altar is a place of fellowship. Please, this teacher will help you today. And don't think you understand what I'm saying until we get to the end of it. An altar is a place of fellowship. And there's a difference between relationship and fellowship. You can have relationship with someone you don't have fellowship with. You can have relationship with someone you don't have fellowship with. A man can be married to his wife and they don't have fellowship. Fellowship is deeper than relationship. Relationship is the foundation for fellowship. What you know in the place of fellowship, you don't know by virtue of relationship. You may have relationship with me by virtue of the fact that you're a TTC member. It doesn't mean you know some things about me. Those things are known in the place of what, sir? Talk to me now. Fellowship. So those who fellowship are those who have intimacy and those who have revelation, instruction that others don't have. What makes one Christian to be different from another is not relationship but fellowship. Our distinction as Christians is in the place of fellowship. What makes one child to know so much about his father than the other children? It's not relationship. They are all children of the same father. What distinguishes us is what, sir? The secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him. Did you get what I just said right now? The secrets of the Lord are with some, not everybody. And those people are those who fear him. Can I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? How shall I be justified as God that Abraham did not know that I was passing by to go and do something there? That the sovereign God became restrained by his relationship with a man. How shall I do a thing without revealing it to Abraham? Because of the special fellowship he has with me. We are all children of God by relationship. We are distinguished by fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of what, sir? Say the fellowship of who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the mind of the Father. So you can have grace, you can have love from the Father, grace from Jesus. The absence of fellowship will be the reason why your Christian life will not be like that of others. Impact is a function of fellowship. Impact is a function of fellowship. The closer you get to the Father, the more intimate you get with the Father, because he is in the Holy of Holies. At the outer court, you have relationship. You come close in the inner court, but fellowship is in the Holy of Holies. Outer court, Jesus. Inner court, Holy Spirit. Holy of Holies, the Father. Everything about the Holy of Holies reveals the Father. I'm calling you to a place of fellowship, because there are things God wants to do, but God will do it on the strength of fellowship. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the altar is a place of fellowship. The altar is a place of encounter. It was in the place of prayer that the Lord Jesus appeared to me. So I've had the privilege in my lifetime of having encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ minimum 3 times. 31 years ago, I had my first encounter with the Lord Jesus. I was in a stadium and he came and he touched me. Bishop Fred Addo was ministering. And I was in that state of worship when a hand touched me. And I thought somebody spoke to me and he said, go home, I want to speak to you 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. in the night. And I trekked from that place. 1 hour, I got home. When I got home, he was there waiting for me. He said, take your paper and biro, begin to write. I couldn't find any paper, so I took my father's medical document. I tore them, and I began to write. And he began to reveal 31, 32 years ago, the headquarters, international headquarters of your ministry, will be in Greenwich. Headquarters of your ministry will be in Abuja. If you know what Abuja was 1989, why would God speak to me about Abuja 1989? The international headquarters of our leadership academy is going to be in Hawaii. I'm a barrack boy. I don't know Hawaii. I don't know Greenwich. I have to look for the name after the Lord disappeared. So for some who think that you live a scattered life, they don't know you are living on schedule. It was in the place of fellowship. He said to me clearly, the ministry will be here, will be there, will be there. And I will never forget one thing he said to me. He said, there's a particular state in Nigeria, you must not have your headquarters there. I mean, you must not have your church there. You are free to preach there, but don't put your church there. He spoke to me about the Americas before America ever opened a door. In the place of fellowship. Speaking to a boy whose ancestry never left this country. It is in the place of fellowship that your perspective about your life will change. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that God has in store for those who love him, but they are revealed to them by what, sir? His spirit. You hear what I just said? They are revealed by what, sir? Donald, by spirit, right? And we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and they are revealed by who, sir? And the spirit is in charge of what, sir? So if there's no fellowship, no revelation. Confusion is a proof that you are living a life that is bereft of fellowship. Oh, you're going to cry to God today. This will be one of the best meetings you've had in a long time, because this will set a solid foundation for the rest of this year. I was at Idowu Taylor's. I would... Bishop Emmanuel Kure, we were just number one in Dotelo, Lagos Commerce of Chambers and Industry. We're having a meeting, and I closed my eyes. I was in a state of worship again. And all of a sudden, my eyes were open. Next thing I saw, the Lord Jesus descending with a mighty speed on chariot. I said, what's going on? And he told me, he said, lift up your hand. And I lifted up my hand, and he began to dress me just the way you have in Ephesians chapter 6. Began to put armors, everything all around me. Major General Ajemba, Tony Ajemba, retired now, was right by my right hand side. He drove me to the meeting. Dr. Tony Asogwa, who is in America today, was by my left hand side. I was just a young man. These were senior men, but they loved me. So they took me to the meeting. It was supposed to be for businessmen. And as the Lord Jesus began to approach, I saw it was so clear. And he said, raise your hands and all of that. And he began to dress me, put on the armor, put on everything. He said, from today I've armed you. My wife and I were having a conversation, and one of our pastors, I said, for 32 years, I have never, the Lord says, son, look back. Have you ever seen anybody reason against you and has succeeded? 32 solid years, sir. I cannot remember one man born of a woman, Christian or not, who has risen against me and has succeeded. I've never seen. And for one reason, he said, you will not fight. He said, the most dangerous thing that can happen is when you choose not to fight. And the Lord Jesus began to talk to me about the church in the place of fellowship by the Holy Spirit. I'm calling you to something today. The altar. When you see altar in the Old Testament, remember fellowship. Altars can be cultivated. Even so, altars can be destroyed. People rear altars and people destroy them. Follow me today. I want to bring you to some depths. And God bless everybody watching online. I can see that we're all catching up online. If your family member is not watching today, get them on board. Because this is not just a message for our church, but for the body of Christ. Something is about to shift in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. The altar is a place of repentance. The altar is a place of repentance. Sir, you cannot have fellowship and not repent. The closer you get to the Father, the more you discover your inabilities, your weaknesses. The proof that you've met the Father is in repentance. Mommy, I used to think that the word repent is actually a word for only sinners. Until I came to Acts of the Apostles chapter 3, it said repent so that the times of refreshing may come. That means he's talking to Christians. Repent. And I said, Lord, what does that word repent mean? The Lord said to me, and I was sharing in Bishop Joseph Gallatin's church in Pittsburgh, when I went there to speak to them, I said the word repent simply means you are living far below the standard God expects you to live in. So it's time for you to turn around, turn about, and return to where you belong. Repent. There's something about fellowship. Fellowship ushers in repentance. The altar, the place of fellowship, is a place where repentance takes place. And there's something about repentance. The more we see him, as we behold him in a mirror, we are changed from one glory to another glory. By the Spirit. And the Spirit is in charge of what? You are not talking now? Fellowship. Can I ask you a question? How is it that nothing remarkable has changed in the last 10 years of your Christian walk with God? Sir, the proof of fellowship will always be noticed by the constant giving up, letting go, dying daily. That's why Paul the Apostle said, I die daily. I do what, sir? I die daily. And the more you die, the more he lives. God does not use men who are fools. You didn't hear what I just said right now. God does not use men who are full of themselves. He can't fill you when you are full of you. Woman of God, if you want to see the Holy Ghost enter you, past Sunday, you want to see the Holy Ghost enter you and fill you up, he needs to see you empty of you. More of you, less of him. Some of you, some of him. More of you, less of him. Less of you, more of him. None of you, all of him. Nigeria, the body of Christ across the world, from South Africa to America, we want to see a move of God. And we think we can sing our way to the revival we're praying for. Hello, singer. It's important for you to know that we don't sing to revival. We die to revival. We die to see revival. Why will he revive you when you are still alive? We don't preach to revival. We die to revival. We don't teach to revival. We die. I die daily. I die daily, said Paul. I die to self. I die to self-will. I die to my arrogance, my self-conceited nature. I die to all of it. And Enoch was with God. Halakute namaziada. Enoch walk with God. Enoch walk with God. Enoch walk with God. Enoch walk with God. Pastor Manus, Enoch walk with God. When he started walking with God, it was all of Enoch and some of God. But the more he walked with God, it was some of Enoch and more of God. And he got to a place where the Bible says, and Enoch was not. And Enoch was not. When they ask questions, Enoch was not there to answer. When they attack, Enoch was not there to respond. When they fight, Enoch was not there to fight. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There's a place God wants to take you to, but he can't take you there alive. For no man will see me and live. The dimension, I'm praying, sir. There's a dimension I'm crying for. I'm not there yet, sir. I've been asking the Lord for years. I said, Lord, let it come to a point in my life, in my walk with you, that as I'm walking and as I'm ministering, literally, I will be translated and Jesus' presence will appear. Am I talking to somebody here? That is my quest. That there will be none of me, but all of him. I know you came here for breakthrough, but I want to show you what will not make you to be looking for breakthrough, but you become a sign and a wonder. Altar is a place of fellowship. Kombrata societa. It's a place of intimacy with the Father. It's a place of repentance. It's a place of reconciliation with the Father. The altar is a place of reconciliation and reconnection with God. The altar is a place where you and the Father, you come back into intimacy. I have somewhat against you, that you have a name that leave. I hear that you are prospered. I hear you say you have money. He said, but I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. You have joined the gang. You have joined the clique now. The proof of your work with me is in the prosperity you have. I don't measure your growth by how much money you have. I measure your growth by how much of me you know. Let not the rich glory in his riches. Let not the wise glory in his wisdom. But let him that glory in the fact that he knoweth the Lord. That you know the Lord. For they that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. That I may know him. That's the cry of men who are seeking for God. That's the cry of men that God will use in this last day. That I may know him. I don't want to know church. I don't want to know politics. I don't want to know who is a rich man in our church. I don't want to know how much you have. That I may know God. And if you're going to be my friend, you better reveal him to me. If you don't know him, you better go your way. If you can't share him with me, you better go your way. Thank God for your car. Thank God for your house. Thank God for your money. That I may know him. Myself and one of my brothers, we all grew up together in poverty. So God has blessed him now. West African manager for one of the biggest oil company for the whole of West African region. living in a comfortable house, massive house in Lagos. We're talking recently, and I asked him a question. I said, there was a time where our greatest prayer point, Father, give me a house. Father, give me a car. Father, give me money. Father, give me... Okay, so now we have all of that. Uncle Paul, what do you remain? Children, God don't give us. In fact, he was telling me, say, Pastor Sam, no woman should come close to me. He said, because the gift to give children is with me. So children, there are plenty. We've gotten the cars. We've gotten the houses. I was striving in a car that used to be my dream. And as I was striving in it, the Lord said to me, say, son, now you're driving in what used to be your dream. He said, what has that added to your life? What has that? And that was why Peter left Jesus. The Lord just mentioned that to me. Peter left Jesus to pursue fish. Jesus says, now fish you want. You left me. You left your calling because of fish. I will make you catch fish. You will catch so much. And you will come to realize that the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. And Peter caught fish and its net began to break. When he saw fish, the Bible said, jump into the water, and he swam to Jesus. He said, Master, I leave all of that. That was why Jesus said, lovest thou me more than all of this? And he said, Master, I do. Lovest thou me more than house, more than car, more than children, more than all this? Is this not why you left me? You left me for all of this. I wanted to teach you that with me, you will have all of them. So you don't need to leave me for them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. All these things, I know it so, sir, Pastor Shego. I know, Pastor Sunday, that if you follow him, that scripture may not look like real. It is real. Sweetheart, it is real. Seek ye first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things. Except if God is a liar. Except if God is a liar. When you seek God first, he said all these things shall be what, sir? Want to buy clothes? Want to look this? So what do you do, sir? We normally will spend time. Okay, I want to get my Thanksgiving dress. And somebody walk up to me and say, Pastor Sam, say, can I pay for all your Thanksgiving dress for the rest of the year? I say, what? Say, give me your tailor. I'll take care of your Thanksgiving dress for the rest of the year. When I go back home, the Lord said, now, what would you consider as an excuse not to seek me? Am I talking to somebody here? The altar is a place of reconciliation. Lovest thou Jesus more than all this? Since you left him, how much have you gotten? The Bible says, and they left him, and Peter said, we go out fishing. See about this thing, following this man of God, and they left him. And Jesus showed up and said, children, have you any meat? Since you left me, since you left your calling, since you left your ministry, what have you made of yourself? Watch those who are in fellowship with me, how I am making them, and you are struggling to make yourself. You can never take yourself to the height that only God can take you to. I'm calling you to a place of fellowship today. The altar is a place of consecration. The altar is a place of consecration. At the altar, we give up. At the altar, we say, Father, I don't know if some of you remember in the early days of our walk with God, when we would make statements like, Father, if I ever try to sleep with a woman, take me home. The altar is a place of consecration. It is at the altar that you separate Christians. Gather unto me, Pastor Sunday. Gather, okati malakatoziata, pratos katesia. Gather unto me, my saints, who have made covenant by sacrifice. What separates us, sir, is not how long we have been in the faith. How long we have been in the church does not matter. Consecration is the key to distinction. Ha, sir, God will be unfair. God will be unfair if you give up all to follow him. And I'm holding on to some and we are used equally. You hear what I just said right now? Listen, sir. God will be unjust. His word will not be true. If Samson will not let razor touch his hair, and you are busy babbing punk. Today you bab punk. Tomorrow you bab this. Tomorrow you bab that one. And Samson, for the sake of God, will not let razor touch his hair. Will not drink wine. And you are busy. You drink wine. You drink alcohol. You drink gedu. You drink medu. You drink all of it. If your mouth is open to all, that is why your mouth can't declare more. No. Consecration. How do you expect God to use two ladies equally? When one lady, until Shiloh comes, she crosses her legs and says, "No man will come. No man will enter me until Shiloh comes, until the appointed one comes, for the sake of my Savior." And there is another one who just opens the leg everywhere, and you think we'll be used equally? God will be unfair. He is merciful, but it will be unfair to use us equally. The altar is a place of consecration. Consecration is what separates men. That is why the Levite, if you notice the Levites are not to marry the kind of women that Jews, the Jewish men marry. Consecration. By virtue of their calling, there are women they can't marry. Eunuchs, by virtue of the call of a eunuch, are you hearing me? A eunuch is not to marry. It's a consecration that comes with his calling. Paul the apostle. You wonder why Paul is in a class all alone by himself? All the other apostles had wives. You know what Paul said? He said, "Do I not have the liberty to carry about women like other apostles do?" He said, "He that must serve the Lord, if you really say, I encourage that you be single as I am." What he was telling you is that, sir, there are dimensions of encounters you have without any encumbrances. You can't have a wife and children and function in certain dimension that the Paulines operate in. When you want to seek God, your wife is calling you. When you want to jump into the realm of the spirit, your children are calling you. There's nothing wrong with marriage. It only tells you that there's a limitation to how much you can be used. And I'm not against marriage, please. I'm married. But I'm telling you that consecration is the key to our distinction. You can't sleep with everything and see the realms of the spirit. You can't eat everything and yet want to have access to scriptures. I've never started this message today. No, I've not started the message today. I've not started yet at all. Just give you the introduction to what I'm about to do here today. You know, we've not even touched the scriptures we came here to talk about. So the altar is a place of consecration. It is a place of sacrifice. Sir, I don't know who wants to truly fellowship with God that doesn't give up something. I don't know how you will fellowship with God. He that must come after me must forsake father, mother, wife, children, even your own life. I'm not sure this is the kind of message you wanted to hear. But we're laying foundation, repairing our altar for wonders. You watch and see some men do amazing things. See, this year, you'll be hearing testimony of where Pastor Sam was passing by. just when he was passing by me, the power of God touched me. I'm not asking for amen. I'm not asking for amen. We're pressing in. We're pressing in. Putting the past behind. Pressing towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Be not conforming to this world, but be ye transformed. Somebody renew of your mind. The Bible says that we should present our bodies as what? Living sacrifice. The altar is a place of consecration. The altar is a place of consecration where ownership is rebellion and lordship is submission. Can I say that again? The altar is a place of consecration and sacrifice where ownership of anything is rebellion. Lordship is proved by submission. How do you know a man that is consecrated to God? How do you know a man in fellowship with God? He owns nothing. That's the first thing that happens in the place of consecration and sacrifice. You lose ownership. You come under lordship. Because you know that to own anything means you have gone into a state of rebellion. The gift is not yours. You are a steward. We received. What is it that thou hast that you have not received? We are receivers. We are not owners. Your life was given. If the life with which you used to get money was given, God owns your life. He owns your money. So such statements as my money is only permitted here, but in the presence of God, you own nothing. Can you pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment, please? Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few moments. Because God is about to open your spirit to some deep things. Father, we move out of the realm of rebellion where we are trying to own gifts, own houses, own lands, own this, own that. Lord, we own nothing. You are the Lord over all. In Jesus' name. Now, hear me and hear me well. Maybe I'll continue tomorrow. Hear me and hear me well. The altar is a place where we lose ownership and submit to lordship. Now, listen. There's a difference between Jesus is my Savior and Jesus is my Lord. Yet you confess both on the day you gave your life to Christ. Is that okay, sir? Now, the challenge with the body of Christ, why we are not yet seeing miracles and revival, the kind of the move of God we want to see. Can I tell you why we're not seeing it, sir? We have too many Christians who have Jesus as their Savior, but not their Lord. Maybe you don't understand who a Lord is. A Lord owns you. A Lord bought you. The Lord paid the price for you. It's absolute rebellion to be under the Lord and be making your own decisions. I was in the house. I was in the house of James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, who spent 3 days there in Virginia. And sir, there's a name of a black, Gilmore. Yes. The black man, the first black man that bought his freedom. Gilmore has Gilmore Farms in Virginia. Now, sir, it's amazing to know that Gilmore was serving James Madison. James Madison was his slave master, the fourth president of the United States. One day, Gilmore said to him, he says, I want to buy my freedom. And he said, if you want to buy your freedom, you pay for it. Long and short of it, he found his way, paid the price, eventually had the Gilmore Farms. In our own case, sir, we can't buy our freedom because we can't pay the price. The Lord paid the price that we couldn't pay. You couldn't have bought. Listen, you can pay Satan, but how do you pay God? I'm asking you a question. You can pay Satan, but how do you pay God? Do you have the price that God wants? Can you offer what God was looking for your redemption? So Jesus paid the price for your redemption. That's why when you say, I accept you as my what, sir? Talk to me now. Lord and Savior, because you paid the price. Now what we know about lords is that those they pay the price for do their bidding. Let me tell you what you are in case you don't like it because of our history. You are a born slave. You are a slave to your Lord. So we are slaves to Jesus. Paul did not shy away from it. Paul said, he was proud to say it. He said, I, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bond slave, perpetually, I am given by choice to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as he wills. That's a proof of lordship. Everybody is moving into that business. And everybody told you it is good. The statistics, everything, the experts say is good. The proof that he's your Lord. You say, Master, Father, I'm about to use your money to invest into this thing. Do you permit me to use your money? Do you hear me now? Do you permit me to put your money there? I know it's a strange concept to you now. Lord, the guy looks nice, tall, dark, and handsome. 6 packs and 7 packs. But Lord, as good as he is he the one? And you will hear, take the oil of your investment away from him. The one I'm sending to you is still in the bush. Lordship. That you don't anoint who you want. You anoint who he assigns. Am I helping you this year? Repairing the altar. Can we journey together this year? Because sometimes when I see you in church, I just laugh at you and I'm like, I think some of you think we're all at the same level of what we give you is not what we are feeding on. So come up a little bit higher. Repair the altar. The altar is a place of sacrifice, it's a place of prayer. It's a place of prayer with fire that must never go out. The altar is up. The Bible says, and the fire must not go out from the altar. It must be allowed to burn continuously. And you can't have fire without oil. And you can't have oil without press. Some people just got it. So, do you hear what I just said now? You want fire? Fire needs oil. You want oil? Oil needs crushing, pressing. Because if you want to get oil from the olive, you crush the olive. It is a crushing of the olive that produces oil from the olive. How do you want to have oil when you don't want to be crushed? Where dying comes in. You are going to see wonders this year, but God wants you to repair your water. Your prayer life must come back alive. Fire must, God, I feel somebody praying in the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody's going to start saying, Father, let fire fall on my altar. Because ultimately, sir, ultimately, that was the cry of Elijah. He said, oh God, let the fire fall. That God that answered by what, sir? By fire, let him be God. And if God must answer by fire, your altar must be repaired. If God must answer by fire, your fellowship must be restored. If God must answer by fire, repentance must be in place. Reconciliation must be in place. Consecration must be in place. If God must answer by fire, there must be sacrifice. If God must answer by fire, prayer must be restored. If God must answer by fire, we need power. People are already praying. You can as well stand to your feet if you're already praying. I can't stop you from praying. You catch it already. You catch it already. Listen to me. If you know I was speaking to you and you really want to come and repair your altar, find your way to the altar. Just leave your seats and find your way to the altar and say, God, I'm coming to repair my altar. I'm coming to repair my altar. You are watching online. Repair your altar. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about breakthrough. Don't worry about open door. Don't worry about finances. Repair your altar. Prepare your altar. Eraskopa. Shatemandele Kosia. Rabanamaskopeleziatosa. Retovengatoskapa. Libratamoske payatosa. Hashapelaskata. Reperiendosa. Hakatuselasopisha. Hasmonoka posperasasiso. Handabaltoviasa. Say, my father, I come to you to repair my altar for wonders in 2022. Nakatusta, Herateza, Shaplatosieta. I will see wonders from my altar in 2022. I will see wonders from my altar in 2022. Shademoriata, Lekatasa, Erado Shianandes. Have a Lord. Shana Moskata. People are praying on the altar here. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I repent. Lord, I give up. Lord, I let go. Lord, I come back to you. I come back to the place of prayer. I come back to the place of fellowship. I come back to the place of intimacy. Oh, Sarimadoskata. Shana Mondariata. If you're watching online, open your mouth and pray and say, Father, I repair my altar. Type and declare, I repair my altar. Type and declare, set my altar on fire. Pressing prayer, pressing in prayer, pressing in prayer. This is your breakthrough. Pressing in prayer, pressing in prayer. Say, my Father, prepare my altar. I repair my altar, my place of fellowship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. I come back to the place of intimacy. It's all about you. I come back to the place of consecration. I let it go. I let worldliness go. I let the flesh go. I let carnality go. I let prayerlessness go. Determined to go back home and fix our altars. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that as your altars are repaired, let wonders begin to respond. Begin to see wonders. Begin to see wonders. Begin to see wonders. Financial wonders. Material wonders. Financial wonders. Material wonders. Whatever kind of wonder. Begin to experience in the name of Jesus. Tomorrow, I just heard this. We will anoint you tomorrow before you exit this place tomorrow. I mentioned something. I said you become a favor magnet. We anoint you tomorrow. You'll become a favor magnet. You attract favor everywhere you go. You will attract favor everywhere you go. In the name of Jesus Christ.